Welcome to Comics,
episode 229. This week, we talk about Harley Quinn, Hot in the City. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast.
Day book signing tomorrow, but nobody else wanted to go with me. And at that point, like, the cost of gas, parking, lunch in San Francisco, the book, like, it's just to stand in line to get a book signed and get a picture, and it's not worth like the $60 it's gonna cost.
So, yeah,
I'm just ordering the book. The bookshop down in Santa Cruz is doing personalized signed copies. They're gonna ship them after her event down there on Saturday.
Oh, Bookshop Santa Cruz?
Bookshop Santa Cruz. They're okay. Doing it. I was going to go down there to see her, because that would be cheaper and better overall on a Saturday, but then tomorrow is the baby shower, so can't really do that.
Yeah.
It's weird. There are things that I wanted to put in the notes, and then I didn't put in the notes because I was worried that it would reveal my quote.
Yeah.
So this is going to be me talking around my quote all night.
Okay. I have to pick a good quote.
Get on that. It was long.
Yeah. You know, I, like, set aside time to read it based on the number of pages listed on Amazon. And then it took, like, twice that length.
Yeah.
I kept trying to read it when I was at work, like at lunch and stuff, and I just kept getting like sidetracked. And but I'm almost done.
And I think aside from being 9 issues, they try to pack in a lot of jokes. So yeah. There's more text than I think there normally would be, because there's action in this, but even the action is part of the punchline.
Yeah.
Oh man, I think I accidentally already started the show.
Womp womp.
It's fine.
Nice.
And they fling poop everywhere.
Yeah, there's like 4 pages of them flinging shit.
And then there was like some villainous person who's hunting her at the very end, and I feel like we're supposed to know who he is, but I don't.
No, I don't think. I think he's new.
Okay.
In any case, I have no idea who that was. Yeah, I have no clue.
But he looked definitely evil.
Yeah, he's definitely... Well, he beat a cop to death on top of a train.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then put on his uniform, it looks like.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I don't know who this guy is.
Yeah, no. Well, good. I'm glad we caught up on that.
Then I'm pretty much done.
Yeah,
that last issue
was not anything crazy. So, there's, like, a lot of things in the Witty Banter section. Have either of you guys picked up your Gundam or know which one you're going to build yet?
I know what I'm building. Can we set a definite, like, due date? Because I know I'm never going to actually finish it unless we do.
Okay, I'll look at the schedule and pick one. But it's going to be mid September is when it's going to need to be all complete and finished, and we're going to take pictures and put them online and put them up for vote.
Okay.
When we put them up for vote, you can't put whose is whose.
Yeah, no, we're not going to say whose is whose, and even though we're going to do the we're going to do a series, and it's going to feature Gundams from the competition, and we're not going to say whether they're ours or whether they're Super Sugoi Cast ones or what.
I have like a default one, but I'm still kind of taking a look at other options. But yeah. If I can't think of one, I know which one I'm going to build.
Yeah, I know which one you're going to build too.
You do?
I think so.
Which one am I going to build?
Is it Camphor?
No.
Ah. Oh.
Shitata
shaki.
That was going to be the one I was going to build, but I changed my mind. Ooh. What I want to do is build that one after I get some more practice, because that's my favorite.
Yeah.
So I want it to be, like, badass.
Yeah. See, I'm the one I'm doing. I'm like gonna put an LED kit and stuff in, and it's gonna look nice and sick. But I do want to make a really good MG one, and I want it to be like fucking. I don't even care who it is. The guy character could be a douchebag, but I want it to. I want it to be shiny and like gold plated.
Well, like Camphor is in the Camphor. The one that the kit that I bought is from an OVA, and he gets his ass kicked pretty hard. But I just love the design of that suit.
Hey, that's all that matters.
Because he's got like he's got two shotguns, two bazookas, these like little RPG things, and then he's got the whip that's like landmines that stick. Not landmines, they're mines, but they're magnetic, and he like whips them onto the Gundam, and they all explode. It's cool.
That's pretty neat. Then he gets his ass beat. And then, what else happened this week? Oh, Warcraft Legion was announced. The Warcraft expansion, the next one.
Yeah, so...
I never canceled my sub.
Neither did I.
I did.
I play, like, once every week and a half.
You know when I played last? April.
Well, we'll have to get you in our rotation, then. Do you have, like, a level 80?
Me?
Yeah.
In WoW?
Yeah.
I have multiple level 100 characters.
No, I know, but like Rage and Brian and I are leveling through together, and we're all at 80.
I probably have a level 80 character. Okay. I couldn't tell you. I have to log in.
We'll have to send you a text next time we hop on. I don't think anybody knows you're still subbed. I think we all think you canceled.
Alex sends me messages to ask if I want to play.
Okay, good. As long as you get those.
But lately, man, I've been obsessed with Rocket League. Have you played Rocket League, Jen?
No, I have not.
Do you know what the game is about?
No.
Basically, it is a soccer game, except instead of people playing soccer, you're driving cars.
That's awesome.
It looks fucking sick.
And the cars, like, can, you can make the cars jump and, like, do flips and stuff in the air. It's great. It's so much fun.
It looks really fucking sick.
And, like, the online community is pretty big, and it's a cross-platform with PS4, so there's a lot of players. Basically, you just, like, as you progress through the game, so when you start the game, you have, like, a few, like, three or four cars you can choose from, but as you play through the game, you unlock more cars, and all this stuff, like, then I call them upgrades, but they're not really upgrades because it's just, like, cosmetic. Okay. Stuff for the car. And then there's like a season mode, like most sports games, and then there's online play.
I just opened up the Steam page, and like one of the screenshots is a car wearing a sombrero flying the Mexican flag.
Fuck yep. Yeah.
I have the sombrero. I also have like devil horns, the Viking helmet, the halo, like an angel's halo. There's all kinds of stuff.
Every once in a while. There's a pirate hat.
It's super fun, and you can get, like, different, like, finishes for your paint, and when you do, like, the boost, you get, like, this contrail behind you, and you can get different contrails. So, like, the one I like to use is the sparkles, but there's, like, there's, like, bubbles, and they make bubble sounds, like, bubbles popping, and the game takes place in, like, the field is, like, a dome. So you can, like, drive up on the ceiling and stuff.
That is awesome.
It's really fun.
Every once in a while, I'll hop on Twitch, and it's occasionally, like, one of the top 10 games on there.
It's, nice. It's super fun. I bought it on Monday, and I think I've put, like, 7 hours into the game already. I beat the game.
And
that's
significant for a guy with a full-time job and two kids.
Yeah, And, you know, it's fun because I can, like, if I need to, like, play something, I can just fire that up because a game is 5 minutes long. I mean, you could set it to be longer, but I can just, like, play against the computer for 5 minutes and then go back to whatever I need to do or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh. That sounds good.
I should see if I can put that on my Surface. Then I can do that, like, on my breaks at work.
It's really fun. I've been playing it with I have an Xbox controller for my computer, and It's really, the game is like, it's one of those games that's really easy to like pick up and start playing, but you can get like really good and it could be pretty, like, pretty competitive game. Like if you go on the subreddit for it, there's like, it's a very, very active subreddit. And people are always posting GIFs, like they make little GIFs of them playing where they did like wacky stuff. It's a lot of fun. I haven't had this much fun playing a game in a long time. And I think what I really like about it is it's a really simple concept, but it's super, super fun.
So I am buying it the next Steep sale.
Yeah, it's you will not regret it.
How far off are we from the winter sale? When does the winter sale usually happen? It's like in November, right?
Yeah, I want to say, but
it's
don't
like
they
2.5 months away though?
They do a seasonal sale, aren't they? Going to have a back to school one soon?
Oh yeah, that would make sense.
Just in time for your grades to suffer.
And that's right.
Yeah.
Just in time for you to get sane again after all the shitty classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all awesome and everything, but there was another game announced this week that I'm really excited for that I might have to buy a new console. They just announced Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball 3.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Oh, you sent me the link to that today. I was like, somebody sent me the link, and now I realize it was actually you that sent it to me.
Yeah, that game is fucking great!
That game does not deserve the flack that it gets.
Okay.
It has a concept, and it is utterly loyal to it.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. It is, it's actually, like, I remember when the first one first came out, and I was in high school, I made relentless fun of people who bought it, and then one of my friends, like, in my close group of friends, bought it. And I was like, you terribly lonely pervert. And it wasn't rage. It was actually somebody else. And then he was like, no.
Why did you think I was thinking
it was
rage? Why did
you call him out?
Because it seems like such a rage thing. And that's honestly how I heard about it. But then I was like, everybody was making fun of it. And then he's like, actually, it's pretty good. And then we were at his house one day and he's like, here, let me put it in. I'm going to show you. And of course we all like, boobies. Because we were in high school. But then we started playing the volleyball and got legit really, really competitive about it.
Did you ever play the fighting games?
Yeah. I have DOA 4, I want to say, for Xbox.
In high school, we used to play DOA 2. And I have a very strong memory of that game as it being the first time I ever laughed so hard that I, like, spit soda out my nose.
But also, legit, fuck that fighting game. It is the most frustrating fucking spell. Like, easy, regular mode, it's fine, but that hard mode, fuck that hard mode. And it's not even that it's hard, it's just, it fucking cheats. It's bullshit.
I've not played the fighting game or the volleyball game.
I can loan you both. I have both.
Yeah, they're like spectacularly insane.
And even
they're just crazy.
Even the volleyball one's really, really difficult in its own way. Like, what you have to do in the volleyball one is you have, what, 20-something days and nights, and you're supposed to make friends with another person, and there's a thing that you're supposed to win. I don't remember what it is. But there's, like, things you can do, but the 21-day cycle is so short. It's really, really short, and you get stuff, like, by making friends with everybody else on the island eventually, so, like, I think there's like 15 people on the island. 15 people. 15 women on the island. Not that women are people. I just realized that was... Okay, never mind.
You just said not that women are people, but I understand what you meant.
Yes. There are 15 women who are also people who are on the island and you're with them. And some of them legit don't like you because in the fighting game, you're enemies. And you have to make friends with them. So if you only make friends with two of them in the 21-day period, that means that you're going to have to play through with that one character 8 times to make friends with everybody else on the island. And then you have to do that with everybody else. So you have to do 8 times 15, that many playthroughs, if you're efficient, just to unlock all of the friendship stuff. And then you unlock more things by actually playing volleyball well and playing volleyball with certain people against, like, it's ridiculous how difficult they make it to get stuff, especially when you think it's just supposed to be a boob game. And the volleyball mechanics are actually pretty good. One of the best volleyball games I've ever played. So yeah, I'm going to buy that. Might have to get a PS4.
Very good.
And I'm not just a pervert. It's actually a good game. Well, you guys ready to talk about this week's comic?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you had some other things in the Woody Banter.
Like what? Oh, yeah, the Hasbro catalog. Yes, the Hasbro's Star Wars catalog leaked. Did you take a look at it, David?
Have you seen it? I did not. But I've seen other toys leaks for other Episode 7 Force Awakens toys. Like,
yeah.
The Lego ones got spoiled.
There's a Nerf gun that looks like a Stormtrooper gun.
That's cool. I didn't see that. Oh, some pictures were leaked for the Force Awakened Episode 7 starter kit for the X-Wing miniatures game.
Ooh.
So it's going to be the same type of ships. It'll be two TIE fighters and one X-Wing, except it'll be the ones from the movie, from the new movie. And somebody took a picture of the back of the box, and it shows the cards, and they're not the, they're not just new models. It's actually completely different ships.
Huh.
So it's an X-Wing, but it's like it's a T-70 X-Wing.
Oh, the newer ones.
Yeah, it's the new X-Wing.
Yeah.
From, you know, the ones we've seen in the trailers. Yeah. And the TIE fighters too, because in the, you know, the TIE fighters are like, have the white panels.
Yeah.
Well, they're like reverse colors kind of thing. The TIE fighters look like that too, so. It'll be, not just a new paint scheme for the X-Wing, it'll be a whole new ship.
That's sick. I was going through the catalog though, and I was actually really disappointed because there's not a single Hera action figure in any of the three lines that they're coming out with. And I'm just like, come on.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, there's going to be a Hera pilot card and a Hera crew card.
Yeah, I'm getting the ghost.
For X-Wing miniatures.
I'm getting that for X-Wing mini. I so am. But and also, like, you scroll through and there's only one female action figure in the entire catalog, and it's Ren. And cool, new female character. But one?
Well, Captain, the silver stormtrooper.
Oh, Phasma, yeah.
That's a female character.
Yeah, but actually, I didn't see an action figure for Phasma in that catalog.
She's played by Gwendolyn Christie from
Game
of Thrones.
The last character I enjoyed watching on that show. Anyway, okay, now this week's comic. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
This week's comic.
This week, we read Harley Quinn, Hot in the City by my boy, friend of the show, Jimmy Palmiotti. Collects issues 0 to 8, also co-written by his wife, Meta Connor. So, yeah, this was, we were talking a little bit before the show. It's not that many pages. It's 9 issues, but it's not that many pages, so you kind of think it's going to be short. But it is. There's a lot in here.
It's dense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of witty banter.
Yes, exactly, just like this episode.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that it starts off. I like issue 0 a lot with Harley breaking the fourth wall, talking directly to the authors of the book. And then I like
Amanda and Jimmy.
Yeah, and I like that it ends with their wedding, which is adorable.
Yeah.
And this is really nerdy, but I like Amanda's dress.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes.
When I saw it, I was like, Andy's going to talk about that dress.
Fuck yeah, because it's a Power Girl dress. Of course I have to. It was sick.
I want to know if she actually had that dress at their wedding, because that would be, like, 1,000% awesome.
I don't think she did. I remember he posted some pictures of their wedding, and I don't remember.
I was going to say, what were you, were you there, Andy?
No, no.
Jimmy probably already
Yeah, your boy Jimmy.
My boy Jimmy. No, I don't think it was. I don't think so. But it was cool to have on there. It's cool because you know that there's so many times where artists will take a job because it's a job, but you get the feeling that Amanda genuinely really likes that character. And that's refreshing, you know?
Yeah, like, I feel like having the two of them write this was incredibly fitting. Like, it felt, like, very natural, the writing. Like, it just, I don't know, it worked really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. In the first one, we had, how many different artists do we have? The funny thing is the cover for issue 0, on the left where there's the credits, it's just, like, the whole page. I can't even remember them all. I liked the idea of swapping through them. And it was really cool that it ended with Jimmy and Amanda saying in that narrative, omniscient voice, like, how about this new kid? Looks pretty good, right? And it fucking did. It looked really awesome. Which is, I really like that because that's something Jimmy talks about a lot. If you go to panels where he's at, or if you just talk to him, he talks a lot about how there's so many good people now who just need the break. And one of the things that he loves doing and that he encourages other people to do is when you go to a convention, don't just go see the names you know. Genuinely walk around, look at the artist booths, and find somebody new who has good work, who has stuff that looks cool. Because there's going to be a dozen people there you've never heard of who are good. And so it was cool that he picked one of those people and had him write a couple pages. I just wish I had the comic with me so I could give that artist the credit they deserve.
Well, there's so I counted the credits page. There's 19 artists.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's great.
I wish that they had directly credited them, like, on each page, though, because I, like, you know, there's some of them that were really clear, mm-hmm. but others, I was like, I read comics, but I don't read all the comics. I don't know who this is. So, yeah. I don't know, but it was really cool. And I don't know, it was just like, it's so rare to see something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was like a tribute, right? But it was, at the same time, just the random beginning of this new run they were doing. So that was an unusual way to start it, I think.
Yeah, I think it was my favorite issue. Not just because it does different art styles and plays with, like, your sense of perspective constantly, but I genuinely think Harley is a difficult character. Because there's been so many different versions of her, and she's not from the comics. So it's not like you can say, oh, well, it's not relevant to the source material, blah, blah, blah. The source material's the Batman animated series. She was created for the cartoon, and she was so popular there that she got translated to the comics, and she got translated directly at first. I think it was Paul Dini wrote her in a couple comics.
And Bruce Timm drew her, I think, yeah. in the comic, too.
Yeah, but then when she was folded into the actual DCU, like, into continuity, her character changed a bit. Sometimes she's been more hardcore, sometimes she's been dressed up a lot sluttier, sometimes she's been this, sometimes she... And so there's not as much of a singular identity for who Harley Quinn is, other than that she's loony. And even then, what kind of loony changes so much? And she shares that with Joker, which is kind of neat. So I really appreciated Issue Zero for giving you a chance to see different kinds of Harley, drawn differently, in different moods and different modes. It was a really cool way to show you, like, we'll run the gamut here. We can do whatever. Let's start off just by saying that. And then they end up having her move into Coney Island.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a cool start to a comic. Oh. She got an apartment.
Yeah, I was seriously, genuinely puzzled by that, like, at the start. Because, you know, at the end of issue zero, the guy comes up and is like, you have this building. And I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. And it ended up being, like, the premise.
Yeah. Congratulations. You're a landlord.
She seems pretty good at it.
Yeah, I genuinely, like, it's one of those things where she doesn't need, like, other comics, the hero would need a villain or a premise or a driving motive. You would need a reason for the main character to be doing something. And Harley, there's no reason in Harley Quinn's head. You don't need to have a reason for anything. You just have a dude show up and say, here's a building you own now. Congrats. Later. And that's fine. That's all you need for Harley. And Harley is a strong enough character just standing on her own on fucking Coney Island boardwalk that she can carry that story.
You know what made it really work, though?
Hmm.
It was the fact that she is batshit insane, but also a capable, self-sufficient adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the minute she gets the apartment and finds out how much it's going to cost, she, like, instantly tallies it up. And she's like, okay, if I work two jobs and raise the rent for these two businesses, I can make ends meet. You know, it's like, you see her act so strange and childish. She talks to her charred beaver.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time, like, in just, like, you know, the blink of an eye, she can turn on being a sane, resourceful, like, person. And I really appreciate that about her characterization here, where she's not just, like, utterly loopy.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, she makes a choice to be the way she is, and she just chooses to be who she is. But then when she needs to, she can, like, buckle down and do serious stuff like psychiatry.
Yeah, be a fucking doctor.
Yeah, I really like that she basically has a secret identity, right? And she has to have a day job like Spider-Man or Clark Kent, right?
Yeah.
Where most of the time you don't see that with villainous characters. Because the villains are just villains all the time, right?
Yeah.
When Harley just needs to be Harley.
Yeah.
Like, she's just trying to live her life.
Yeah, exactly. She's just trying to live her day to day. And, like, she balances in that line. She is together enough and smart enough to know what she has to do to get by her day to day. But she's so much on the precipice that is entertaining because she's barely doing it. Like, she's holding it together by a string.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, it feels really real because there's a lot of people like that, right? Where, like, you know, you're working two jobs and because of that, you know, they eat into each other's time, it's not going well, you had a rough day. Except her reasons are completely batshit. And that's what's so great about it. It's like you take this really sympathetic, relatable experience, and then suddenly, instead of like, oh, work in one job ran over, so I missed my roller derby job, it's like, oh yeah, an old Yiddish man came and asked me to hunt down Soviet spies with him, right? Like,
and I did.
Yeah. Oh, man. I will say, like, they had really good titles for each of the issues, but The Hunt for Red Octogenarian was probably my favorite.
Yes, amazing.
That was legit perfect. I think the thing that really makes this comic work, other than her being crazy, is, how do I put this? She's a bit like Willy Wonka. Like, this story wouldn't work in upstate New York. She would just look like a fucking psychopath. But, like, in Coney Island, in a part of, like, the country that's a little bit like a circus all the time, and with the people that live in her building and work in her building, like, she fits in. And she's not necessarily as responsible as Tony, per se, but you can tell they're gonna be friends right away. Like, they're two peas in a pod. Like, the setting helps her so much.
Yeah, or like, what's the name of the very tall lady who Big Tony's trying to woo?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Gina? I can't remember her name, but, you know, she comes in and Harley's humping a wax figure of the Joker.
Yes.
And she sees this and her immediate reaction is like, okay, stop doing that. But, you know, you have a place in this museum one day and I have a lot of respect for you. Yeah. And it's like, well, of course Harley is going to get along with these folk. They're just as crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's a wax museum of fucking murderers, which in the DCU means people like Harley.
That museum was awesome, by the way. Like, I don't know, just in terms of weird background art.
Yes.
That was A+ there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So she moves in, she collects rent, she meets the neighbors, she frees all the puppies with Ivy, which was fun. She gets her jobs. Oh, and then there's Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Yeah, that one was fun. Then she goes chasing Ruskies, and then figures out who put the hit on her.
You skipped the one where she go visits Mrs. Rubenstein's family.
Oh, yes, the Rubensteins. Oh my god, she has Alzheimer's.
See, that was a good. That one had a good title too. That one was the one called "Very Old Spice."
Yes. Yeah, that one I kind of saw it coming, but it was still entertaining to see her be like, oh yeah, I guess I should read the file after they've all been like knocked off the pier.
Well, not to mention she drove through their house with a bulldozer.
Yes. Yes.
And left them in the trunk all day long.
All day.
That one was great just because it like knocked on some really common tropes, right? Like there's the asshole dad in the basement who's antisocial with his family, and the mom who's like,
selling sex toys.
Yeah, selling sex toys. And the kid who only plays video games. And, it, like, we see this trope in comics, like the asshole family who gets their comeuppance. And then this time it's overturned because they're actually, like, nice to grandma. She just doesn't remember.
They're actually like, I go there all the... We all go all the fucking time. We are a great family to her. She just does not remember. Or no. Which, okay, take it out of context, and that sounds really fucking sad. I just want to say. Like, Alzheimer's is not usually a good joke. But Harley can do that. This is the kind of thing you can do with Harley, is you can play with stuff that's not PC to play with. And it's perfectly fine. If you're reading a Harley book, odds are you're a little bit off too.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at all the beaver jokes through the whole the whole comic.
Well, I mean, consider that the premise of one of the issues was that an old man and Harley team up to kill old people. And some of them, like, one of them is dangerous, but one of them is in a coma.
Yeah.
One of them is like, God, I just want to be left alone to eat cheese and have soft toilet paper, yeah. Which is basically like a pretty decent American dream, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then, like it's actually incredibly dark. It's like, they're like, we didn't do anything! And, you know, they've not been Soviet spies since ever,
yeah,
you know,
like
since the 90s. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I looked at that and I was like, that's actually very dark, if you... Yeah. Just take 2 seconds to think about it. But the thing about this comic is it's so... It jumps from one joke to the other so quickly, it doesn't ever give you time to pause and reflect on, like, its gruesome nature.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. I like that Russian guy who was like, why the fuck can't you just leave me alone? I love America now. I like it here. This is great. I love cheese and soft toilet paper. And fuck Russia. This place is awesome. Just leave me the fuck alone. I was like, oh, you poor motherfucker. I mean, there's no choice here. You're going to die. I just feel so bad for you.
Yeah, or like the car salesman who... probably didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... You know, this comic actually... I read the Wikipedia page on it. It stirred up a controversy, of course.
Of course. Harley does. Always.
Well, what was interesting about it is it wasn't even the contents of this comic that offended people. Uh-oh. It was... So for issue zero, they have that issue where... They're making jokes about, like, what's the Suicide Squad? That sounds like you'd be in these situations. So I couldn't really find the original post. I think DC took it down. But they held a contest. And I think they were like, okay, draw Harley committing suicide using these four methods.
Hey.
And then we'll pick the winner and you get to be in the comic. Which is pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, three of them are silly, like she's getting electrocuted on the roof of a building. It's the page where she's wearing the chicken bikini and hanging out with the crocodiles, so that's one.
That's an issue zero, right?
Zero, yeah. What was it? I forget the third one. She's like on a missile or something. And the fourth one was originally her in a bathtub filled with electronic appliances. And that's the one that caused outrage. Jezebel has a whole thing on it about, like, God, the comments.
But, I mean, okay.
But like, I mean, like, aren't they all, like, the whole thing's tasteless.
I mean, okay.
Like, why pick the one thing?
I mean, the whole thing, this is the thing. All of it's tasteless. But honestly, the idea of Harley killing herself in a comic, that's gonna get drawn, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, you could have the same competition for Deadpool on the DC side. I think these two are their foils. Like, Marvel has Deadpool, DC has Harley Quinn. Like, honestly, I think I recall Deadpool killing himself almost every other issue of the run. Or doing something that's self-inflicting of harm.
And well, there was a whole run in the comics where he was trying to court death, the character Death in Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So she would kill him, let him die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing, like, super self-destructive stuff.
Yeah. And then in this, like, there are so many wacky situations in which Harley might, I don't know, jokingly kill herself as part of... It's going to get drawn. But when you frame it as a competition saying, draw Harley killing herself, like, you're getting really distasteful. I don't know.
I really don't know, because it was a riff on the title Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was going to be for this prim and proper serious comic about women's issues and mental health problems. It's a fucking Harley Quinn comic.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just, maybe I'm incredibly jaded and cynical and I'm going to get a bunch of death threats and hate mail from someone, but I just let it go. Like, there's enough charred beaver jokes in there that, like, there's other things you can worry about if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, it was cool that they had a contest to try to bring in someone new to the industry. I thought that was actually a neat idea.
Yeah. You know what, though? I mean, talking about the jokes in this, I will say, I feel like there were times when this comic was trying too hard. There are some times when I was like, yeah, this is funny. And then there are times I was like, maybe it belabored the joke occasionally, like the poop catapult didn't have to last 4 pages.
I think the thing is, you gotta, if you're gonna find it funny, you gotta run with it, right? Like, you have to be in your best juvenile mindset.
I don't know. Some of them landed for me, and some of them didn't. And I think
the poop jokes landed for you.
No. You know what's funny? The whole poop flinging, that I didn't find funny. What I found funny was the poking fun at the DC editorial staff talking about the new 52, where they turn them all into, like, llamas and shit, or where whatever's, like, that I found funny. The new 52 with a G? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That cracked me up.
Yeah. That was the funniest part of the poop flinging, and that didn't have anything to do with the poop flinging.
But everybody loves a good poop joke. Well, except for you, apparently.
Apparently not me. I don't know. It just... It's like when you're doing joke after joke after joke after joke after jokes, more of them have to land than not. And like you were saying, it's one after the other, and they don't give you time to reflect at all. I feel like equally, if there's a good joke, like if there's one that really landed, it doesn't take the moment to let it sit. Like, it doesn't let the good joke bask in its glory. It immediately goes on to another joke.
I kind of feel like that's necessary, though, here, because, I mean, even some of the good jokes, I think if I took a moment to, like, really think about them, I'd suddenly be like, ugh, you know? I would feel, how do I put this? I would end up looking at it and actually considering the situation that's happening instead of what I'm being presented with. And this comic relies on me just taking what I'm given and looking at it, not absorbing it, reacting immediately, and then moving on. because I think a lot of this is actually incredibly dark and horrifying if you want to sit down and really engage with it.
Yeah.
But it's a really fun comic if you don't.
Yeah. Like, and I think the most depressing part of the Russian storyline was Cyborgman.
Yeah. Like,
well, like, what happens when you use the latest technology and then it's 50 years later?
Well, Andy, I think your comparison to Deadpool is really appropriate, because after the comment you made and thinking about it a little bit, I think Harley and Deadpool fill the same role in their respective companies, and their comics fill the same role. Because especially Deadpool's latest run, written by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn, is just like this. It's just a hit parade of jokes. And there's a market for that. You know, we talk about, I mean, this comes up in our podcast often, how we talk about the dark and gritty time where that's where comics were trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the opposite of that. It's the other end of the spectrum, right? And there's, I think this kind of comic fills an important niche where people just want to read sometimes toilet humor, you know? And it's not for everybody, and not all the jokes are going to be funny for everyone, but I think we can all three agree that we found at least parts of this comic to be pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so maybe the poop jokes didn't land with you, Andy. But, you know, there's plenty of readers out there who probably loved that. And so this is a comic that I think the reason the jokes keep rolling is because they're trying to hit as many people as possible
with the poop.
With the poop jokes.
Yeah, with the poop jokes. And I think that's really on point, and that I completely lost my train of thought right there. Oh well.
Well, I'll carry forward the comparison with Deadpool. The run that we read earlier on was Secret War, I think?
Of Deadpool?
Secret, yeah.
It was
No, not Secret War.
It was Dark Avengers. It was the one we read, the one where
the Skrulls were invading.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion.
And there was a stadium and stuff.
Secret Invasion.
Yeah, Secret Invasion.
We also read the one where did we read the one where he fights Hawkeye that's actually Bullseye? We read that one, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I think so. But I remember the stadium one, because that, I feel like there's a linear string of events, and the jokes are piled into that string of events. And I don't know, it felt like a more cohesive, carried, running joke. And I think we get 9 issues, and in these 9 issues we get 6-7 different storylines. And I feel like, I don't know, it's a little bit like throwing, like you were saying, it's like throwing darts at the board to see what sticks. I don't think we needed the roller derby.
Here's the thing, right? That run of Deadpool was tied into an event, a Marvel event.
Yeah, it's true.
If you read, like, other Deadpool comics, they're not always tied to an event. And this is, I'm sure there could be Harley Quinn comics that are event tie-ins that, but, you know, sometimes those just, I'm sure that if we read, like, the beginning of the Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn run on Deadpool, there's a thing where Deadpool is fighting, like, zombie or ghost presidents of the United States of America. That has nothing to do with anything else to Marvel. It's just this, like, wacky adventure he's having.
Yeah.
And there's, like, this, Queen Latifah inspired S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that Deadpool's like teamed up with to fight the presidents.
And
the
awesome.
Reason, and like somebody, I think the reason the presidents come back to life is because some person casts a spell because they don't think the current run of politicians can actually run the country. And I think there's like dinosaurs and stuff too. It's just like this, all kinds of wacky things happening, just like in this comic, you know. I think the reason why the Deadpool run, specifically the Secret Invasion one, felt cohesive is because it had an end game. The part where, at the end, where Deadpool's like communicating with Nick Fury and it gets intercepted by, Norman Osborn, plays in exactly to the conclusion of Secret Invasion. So, but yeah. as soon as that storyline ended, it started to go off on its own Deadpool story.
Okay. So, I think I figured it out. You helped me get here. I think I figured it out. The comic, I feel like, I can't decide when I'm reading this if this is an adventure a month kind of comic, or if it's a comic where I need to pay attention to storylines, or if there's an overall story to carry it. Like, I think my favorite issue was the Valentine's Day one, because it starts, it ends, the joke is, like, the same thing carries the whole comic, and it's nice, it's self-contained, and it's clean, which is something I really, really appreciate about Jimmy Palmiotti's run in Jonah Hex and then All-Star Western. A lot of those issues are like, you can start reading today. Right now, pick up this one. It's going to be a self-contained story. Next month, it's going to be another self-contained story. And it's all Jonah Hex. And there will be things that carry over, but every month was self-contained with Jonah Hex. And it was really, really good for that. And I really like that like adventure month kind of a thing. So there's stuff in here that feels adventure a month, and then stuff that just kind of comes up and goes away. I don't know.
Well, I think of it. This is
you gotta have a premise. Of course, you gotta have the premise of the building and
that's not the premise. That's the setting, right?
Yeah,
that's like Harley's. Like the Ninja Turtles live in a sewer, right?
Yeah.
Or the Avengers used to live in the Avengers Mansion. It's where she lives, and yeah, that's
you
where
gotta establish sport place characters and purpose.
Are. Yeah, it's the setting. The overarching story in these issues that we read was figuring out who put the hit on Harley, right? But I mean, even the issues that continue over into the next one only last like two issues, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it could be better. It could be a comic where it's one issue or one adventure an issue, but this one I don't think is a big deal. It's not like you. I think you can pick this one up and read a couple issues and get the gist of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's obviously something in the flow here that I don't know was dissonant with me.
I think part of it is. For this, you kind of have to consider, like, what it might be trying to do. Obviously, as we didn't write it, we cannot know. But,
I'll call it Jimmy and ask him.
Yeah, call Jimmy.
Call your boy Jimmy. Is it trying to tell a story? Is it trying to evoke an emotion? Is it trying to get cheap laughs? Is it trying to show you who Harley really is? And obviously, it can be a mix of any of those things. But I think part of it is, with a comic like this, I feel like your expectations of what it should be doing are going to definitely affect your enjoyment of it. Because I kind of went into this thinking, like, I'm going to get a bunch of really wacky jokes and some cheap laughs, and I did, and it met expectations. I'm not going to say it's, like, the greatest comic I ever read, but it fulfilled what I thought it was going to do. So, I don't know. I think that added to why I like it. I don't know if it'd be the same for anyone else, but at least for me, it was like that.
That might also be partially it. I came into this with really high expectations because Harley Quinn, a lot of people love Harley Quinn, and I liked her in the cartoon, but I haven't really liked her in the comics that much. And I'm such a big fan of almost everything that Jimmy does or that Amanda does, that I probably came into this with way too high of a bar and not just coming in to have fun. Because I will say, the jokes that I appreciated the most in this entire thing was the running holy blank-a-moly. She came up with it for, like, everything. It was a holy blank-a-moly something else or whatever, and it was really fun for me to see how that would get changed given every situation. Like, some of them were pretty outrageous and fun. And I think that's the thing that made me laugh the most often. What about you guys? Was there a big joke that you guys liked other than the one that you're going to use for quotes, obviously?
The thing, like, with the constant stream of beaver jokes kept, like, kind of shocking me. Because I was like, wow, they're really doing this. I don't know what else to say. It just was like, because, you know, that's, it's like vagina jokes, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't believe they're actually doing this.
Why, what makes you think it's vagina jokes?
Come on, Andy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but, that I found it, like, it made me chuckle, and I was like, wow, this is not, they're gonna keep doing this. But yeah, it was funny. It wasn't, like, horrible, you know?
Yeah. It's the vagina dentata connection. What about you, Jen? Was there a joke that you...
It was the same. It's probably become apparent because I keep bringing them up. but, man, I did not expect that. And, like, it's like David said, they just took it all away. And I just was so shocked that there would be, like, haha vagina references in a comic more than once. Right? Like, the one time I'm like, okay, they're edgy, but then it just went on and on, and I was like, wow. And the fact that it was, like, a literal beaver, too, just made it all the better. But, yeah, they made me laugh every time. Yeah.
Yeah, what did you guys think about the art in this one?
I thought it was really good. I mean,
speaking of the burned beaver.
Well, one of the things that, you know, is often talked about with
beavers,
with female characters and Harley in particular, is the amount or lack of clothing that they're wearing. And, you know, I thought this costume is, maybe it's because I'm a guy, but I don't find this costume to be offensive. Do you, Jen, being the girl on the podcast?
I am Jen the unoffendable. I mean, so, no, I don't. I think she looks damn good in it, too. But
And she wasn't drawn in any positions that, like the Spider-Woman position. Do you know what I mean?
I don't...
Lived in her in that outfit, and that's just what she wore. And she even made a comment about not wearing the same thing every day. Like, she said, oh, you know, how does Superman wear the same thing every day?
Yeah.
Because she was wearing variations of the same... You know, she has... Sorry.
It's okay. She wears very contextual stuff. Like, I didn't like the poop-flinging scene, but I really did like her hat.
The pirate hat? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. No. Yeah, I don't know. I felt the art was really, really good. And there's a lot of times where there's really good details in the background, and the building had a good feel to it. Like we were talking last week, how there was such a good sense of place in the East End in Brubaker's Catwoman. And I feel like this building, I get the feeling that the artist has, like, the floor plans of this building either in his head or drawn out, at least. Because it feels like such a tangible place.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, and the whole neighborhood, too. I almost feel like you could go to this little area of Coney Island and see Harley's world. And I liked it. I mean, it just made it feel... I don't know, like, it made her seem crazier, the fact that the setting seemed more grounded in reality. Because, I don't know, if this took place in Gotham, I don't think this would have been as... interesting, because Gotham is already filled with, like, really crazy, psychotic criminals and strange people. But here, yeah. It's, like, it's weird but flavorful.
Yeah. And also, yeah, sorry, I just saw in the notes, and it's a good time to bring this up, you can't do this in Gotham, because Gotham isn't lawless. Like, well, plus, where if the you put fuck it in are the police on Coney Island?
If you put it in Gotham, you have to... Batman has to make an appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Batman or Batgirl, Bat-something. There's too many vigilantes there. There's no vigilantes at Coney Island.
I love that Ivy went and visited Harley, you know?
Yeah. It's her girl.
Yeah, they went and she just went to, like, hang out.
Yeah. Why not? I don't... The one thing that I will say really bugged me about this comic is the just complete wanton destruction that happens with nobody showing up. You know? Like, somebody should show up somewhere along the line here to be like, the fuck?
Nah.
I don't know. There's no consequence at all. And I'm not saying she has to get thrown in prison or something, but I would love to see Batman come down and wag a finger or something just for Harley to make fun of him. I don't know,
Andy,
like...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you read a comic book before?
God damn it. I'm not being... I just... It wasn't until like the sixth or seventh issue, honestly, when I was like...
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Because it's a Harley comic. She's gonna fucking kill people and break things, and of course she is. Of course she is. And she's gonna get away with like 90% of it. But the amount of damage and death that she causes in these first 9 issues is insane. For nobody in the entire DC universe to notice a little bit, like...
Ivy noticed.
Somebody. Yeah, Ivy did.
And Cyborg.
I think Cyborg just thought she could help and was a fan. I don't know. I know. I need to just let it go. But just
let it go,
so
Andy.
Long. After the innocent Sing family gets kicked off the pier, I was like, okay, come on. Some consequence? No, nothing. Okay. Just like a cop even walking by, being like, what the hell?
Well, it's not like they drowned.
No, I know, but they were locked in that fucking trunk all goddamn day. She can believe her. Okay, let's
read
this.
Oh my god, we didn't talk about the Greedo scene.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
That was fucking fantastic.
It was beautiful.
That's because one of us probably has it as a quote.
You know what's funny? The first thing I noticed, I was like, hey, that cup looks like R2-D2.
Yeah, me too.
And then
the guy looked like Greedo.
And then I was like, oh my god. And I love that Harley is aware of it. She's like, oh, breaking character a little bit.
Yeah. Oh god, what issue was that in? Oh, that was in the issue with the family, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was in the Rubensteins episode.
Yeah.
Or issue. But anyways, yeah. That scene, I appreciated that as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good all over. That was probably one of my favorite scenes. That was the one I was like, yeah, it was funny.
Well, it's great is that Harley tries to basically do Han Solo's lines.
Yeah. And she does the pose and everything, too. Like, sits just right.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff. Okay, let's rate this, and then we can play some quotes. I feel like one of you guys should go first, because I've been waffling around for, like, the last 10 minutes. So how about David?
Oh, so my rating of this comic?
Yeah.
You know, I was pleasantly surprised, because I seem to remember when this comic was out, people were like, oh, it's not a good comic, you know, when New 52 was coming out and stuff. But I like this, so I'm gonna give it a 3.5. It's actually, I had fun reading it. It's not for young people, but, well, kids, I mean, but it was a funny comic. The art's really good, and, yeah, I think it delivers on what it's supposed to be. It doesn't try to be anything. It really sticks to its guns, you know what I mean? So yeah. 3.5.
All right. Jen?
Yeah, 3.5 as well. David basically said all the salient points I was going to.
Sorry.
No, it makes my job easier. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I laughed. I would not recommend it for children. 3.5.
I am going to give this a 3. I know I just spent like the last 10 minutes going, I don't know, this is going to... But I will say, Harley does really, really well when she has somebody to play off of. Like, when she's with Ivy, it's fantastic. Especially that scene at the beach. I love that scene at the beach. When Ivy's like, you can play with him all you want, but just don't bring him near me. Like, whatevs. You know? And, like, he fucking, like, does her toes and stuff. And just the interplay that Harley has with other individuals, especially as pals when they're going around doing things, that's golden. The Rubenstein one was kind of, I don't know, it was mostly the Cyborg one I wasn't totally sold on.
Oh, see, like, I didn't, the Rubenstein one was probably my least favorite. I liked the interactions with Cyborg. I thought he was a pretty funny character.
I don't know. I feel like she does really, really well with the Pal, which is why I'm definitely going to read the next trade, because the next trade is Harley and the Power Girl. Power Girl apparently gets amnesia, and Harley convinces her that they're a crime-fighting duo. And hijinks ensue. Nice. So I'm definitely going to read that.
So you should get it. I bought this on Comixology, and they're having a sale on Harley stuff right now. So this trade, which is normally $16.99, was $4.99.
Oh,
it's 70% off. I don't know how much
get that on Comixology.
It was yesterday. I don't know if it still is today. I'm going to go check, and if it is, I'm going to buy it too.
Yeah, and I already have on my pull list the Harley and Power Girl, series that just came out. I think they're on issue 3 now. Haven't read any of it, but I'm buying it because it has Power Girl on the title. So it's me. Anyway, I'm going to give this a 3. I can't put my finger on why I didn't like this, and I think it's my own fault. But either way, I'm going to keep reading it, and I really do think there's something good in here that just needs to find a rhythm. And if it's the comic or if it's me, I don't know, but I'm willing to give it another tray to try and see if I can hit that rhythm. So that's what I'm going to do at work tomorrow. All right. Let's play some quotes. Guys.
Quotes.
Guys, it's been so long since we've played quotes.
Yeah, I know.
It has.
This is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, about a month, huh?
Yeah, it has been like a month, hasn't it? Oh, shit. Scores as they stand right now. David has 9, I have 5, and Jen has 3. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to give Jen her quote. Actually, before I do all that, this round of quotes, just like every round of game we play, is brought to you by Patreon. Become a patron today and support the show. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. You can become a patron for as little as a penny, and it helps us. Honest to God, it will help us. I could use that 12 cents a year. But really, if you become a patron at different levels, you can do all kinds of great things to interact with us. You can tell us what kind of things you want to do for this competition segment at the end. You can, you know, put in a request for what kind of comic you want us to read next. You can also help us get towards some of our goals. A lot of our goals have to do with live streaming the show out to you and doing some interviews with people. I've connected with folks that I want to do interviews with who say that they were willing to do interviews with us. We can do interview shows, but I straight up don't have the bandwidth because I can't afford it. And if you want to help us out, become a patron, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. Okay, now it's time for that first softball. Remember, Jen, you get 1 point because it's been a while. I'm going to run you. You get 1 point for guessing correctly who said the quote. And the second point for getting the context correct, and the third point for nailing them both. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Wowee! Oh, baby, I'd like to gnaw on your twigs.
Okay, Harley said that. Wait, no. Not Harley. It was the beaver. The beaver said it. And he was talking to Harley after she ate the berries off the plant that Ivy gave her that made everyone attracted to her. And she got home, and she was like, not you two.
Okay, final answer?
Final answer.
Oh, so my close. God, Jen. I'm so sorry. I tried to give you a softball. This you were correct, and it's the beaver. You do get a point. It was the beaver upon first seeing Ivy.
Oh, okay.
When Harley says, but first you want to meet my beaver, and she goes, okay, why not? And then the beaver says, oh, baby, I'd like the nine twigs. And Ivy's really disappointed that it's an actual beaver. yay. Sorry, that's only 1 point, Jen.
Womp womp.
All right, Jen, you got one for David?
Yes, this is a hard one, so I apologize.
Okay. That's okay.
It's okay, he hasn't gotten one wrong yet.
Okay. It is just, you are incorrigible.
It's Ivy saying it to Harley when they're on the beach, when she's talking, Harley says something about, Ivy says, put him away, and she said, where should I put him? Yeah, final answer.
Final answer? How do you do that?
I have no idea.
Fucking shit.
3 points.
I don't know, the comics, like, for some reason the dialogue in comics really sticks with me. I swear to God I am not cheating. Next time I will come over to Andy's house and record, so you will know that I'm not cheating.
I don't think you're cheating. I just think you're incredibly good at this.
That was like really good.
I just think you're good.
Instant too. See, if you were cheating, you would have like paused and like been like, while you looked it up.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do.
That was impressive. Well,
I do have the comic open, but it's to the quote I'm going to give Andy.
All right, I'm going to put a little +3 there for David. All right, lay it on me.
All right, it is, your mother got more weave than a dog in traffic.
Oh, man, I laughed at that one.
Shit. Oh, your mother got more weave than a dog in traffic. I am not going to get this.
Oh, come on, I know this one.
Oh, no, I'm not going to get this. Your mother got more weave than a dog in I want to say the beaver said it. I'm not going to get this right. There's no fucking way. Oh, Cy Borgman says it to a guy when they're eating. When Cy is telling Harley about the Russians. A guy comes over and tries to pick a thing, and then Cy says that to the dude.
Final answer?
Yeah.
3 points! You got it!
Oh, yeah!
Nice!
Oh my god, I thought for sure I was getting that wrong.
The guy says, Cy's taking the folder out of his scooter, and the guy says, what else you got in the scooter? And he goes, your mom. And he says, you just say something about my mother? Then he proceeds to tell him about his mom's weave.
Okay. Oh my god. Oh shit, I thought for sure I was gonna fuck that up. Okay.
Good job.
Whew. Oh, I'm like tensed after that. Let's get a score recap. David has 12 points after the end of the week, because fuck him. I have 8 points and Jen has 4.
Woo!
We need to change the scoring so that Jen and I can catch up.
Wait, that means I've gotten like 1 point on each of them. No, I got like 1-0, right, and a couple.
Yeah, and one correct. This is our fourth round.
Yeah.
This is our fourth, because David's gotten 3 all 4 times, so he's at a 12. That's how I'm keeping the math here. Just dividing David's score by 3.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm killing it.
Killing it. That's
actually,
it for this
week. I don't
week.
Like it when people say sorry, not sorry. It annoys me.
It's kind of, if you're not sorry, then you're not sorry. You don't have to say sorry. We say it just as like a thing. We don't even say it because we're sorry. We just, yeah, no, I'm there with you. Maybe for different reasons, but I'm there with you.
No, it's like when people do something that they don't mean to do and go, just kidding. No, you weren't kidding. You fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, when they say sorry, not sorry, it means I'm going to be a dick right now.
Yep.
So, yeah. Sorry, not sorry, David. next week, we're reading Batman and Huntress, A Cry for Blood. It was a 6-issue miniseries written by Greg Rucka from the year 2000. So that's next week. Batman and Huntress Cry for Blood.
Blood.
Blood. Blood. That was, what was that? Oh, what's that from? Oh my god, I've been doing that. I forget what it's from. Blood. No, whatever. Cry for Blood, Batman and Huntress, next week. Yeah, cool. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.